I shared this morning that my desire was for the Lord to help me tonight to preach on the thought of a life of luxury. Thank you, young man. Amen. There's a job for everybody. Amen. There's a job for everybody. But as I shared that this morning, Brother Andy kind of spoke under his breath and he said health and wealth, huh? And of course, you know that my desire is not to be one of these health, wealth, and prosperity preachers. I believe that a lot of times that's shallow. That's getting somebody through a moment in life, but not helping them to complete life to its fullest the way that Jesus would desire us to do. We see here that Peter is addressing the lifestyle of the people that were there in that day and time in which he lived. And we find that he speaks there in verse number 18 unto servants. Now he's talking about slaves, those that have been saved by the grace of God, but yet their job and their duty was to serve somebody because they were in bonds, because somebody had paid a ransom for them. Somebody had purchased them, or they'd been brought up into the household as a bondservant, as a servant, as a slave under somebody else's authority. We find that Peter desired to give a word of hope and give a word of courage to those that were in that same place. So we find that word servant there in verse number 18. So how does that apply to us today? I believe that it can apply to us in our position that we hold on a public job. I believe that it can apply unto you, young people, as you're in school and as you are serving there, serving the Lord Jesus in a classroom. We find that there's some words here tonight that we can glean from that will help us to be what God desires for us to be. So it's basically teaching us how we ought to behave in life. And as I look across this crowd tonight, as I look across this room, I'm reminded of what I heard a black preacher say one time, the name of Robert Smith, who's a professor of theology or a professor down at Beeson University in Birmingham, Alabama. And he, in a sermon that I heard him preach one time, he made reference to the fact that we ain't always dressed this way. As I look across this place tonight, I'd say that each and every one of you have probably been at somewhere, some point, sometime in your life that you were not had the luxury to dress the way that you dress tonight. Some point in time in your life, you did not have the luxury of driving the car that you drive tonight. Did not have the luxury of living in the home in which you dwell tonight. And my friend, as I look across our room and look across this congregation tonight, I'd say we've all been blessed. And my friends, you look back and you think about where you used to be and think about what you used to do and think about how that God has showed His kindness and His affection unto each and every one of us. We have to step back and say, thank you, Jesus. Glory unto the name of the living God. And we find here that as we think about luxury, I want to remind you tonight that luxury is not in how much money you got in the bank. Amen? Luxury is not dependent upon how much gold you got. I've seen them commercials over and over and over again. They say gold is at an all-time high. If you ever go invest in anything, you ought to invest in gold. I'm here to tell you tonight, luxury is not found in gold. It's not found in silver. It's not found in coins. Luxury tonight is not found in stocks. It's not found in bonds. Luxury tonight is not found in oil. Luxury tonight is not found in the possessions that you have. But I'll tell you where I believe true luxury lies is whenever you can wake up in the morning, you can look in the mirror, you can have peace in your heart to know that you're right with God. I think luxury is wherever you can walk through the day and live through the course of life and have peace and tranquility in your soul to know that you're in right standing with an Almighty God. I think it's wonderful to be able to lay my head down at night and be able to rest upon my pillow knowing that my soul's saved first and foremost, but also knowing that I'm in right standing with God, striving to live my life in a way and a manner that's blessed. I'll tell you what, I believe that's a life of luxury tonight. I don't care what all these people have that think that they've got it and think that they've made it and think that they've succeeded. And hey, I'm thankful that I'm living the lifestyle that I live. I'm thankful for the comforts that God has provided unto me. But nevertheless, never undermine the grace of an Almighty God. It's through His benevolence and His love and His gift of mercy toward us that we have what we have. Hey, I believe there's a sense of accomplishment there to know that we have been saved by His mercy and His grace. So I believe there's a word to the saved tonight that you can continue to live a life of luxury. I believe there's a word to the lost tonight that if you want to live this life of luxury that I'm speaking of, that you can if you'll look unto Jesus. And we find that it is there, I believe most of all, to those who desire to live a life of luxury. So as we think about that, how do we obtain this life of luxury? I believe Peter spoke and he exemplified Jesus Christ above and beyond everyone else that he could find. And he spoke of this life of luxury. I believe, first of all, we ought to learn to live under the stress. To live under the stress. Who's got stress tonight? Am I the only one? Hey, I believe everybody has best back on raising her hand. Hey, I'll tell you what, we all have burdens from time to time. Amen? We all have things that weigh heavy upon our heart. Hey, you got deadlines you got to meet. Amen? You got things that you've got to accomplish during a day and during a time. And I'll tell you what, life can sometimes get stressful. Peter spoke unto those slaves that he was surrounded by in that day and time. And look what he said. He said, servants. He said, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. He spoke unto those Christian slaves. He said, you need to be subject unto your masters, those that are overseeing you. For you that are students here tonight, it's speaking of your teacher. Now, I know some of you might have some favorite teachers, and some of you might have some that aren't so favorite. Some of them you just dislike. Some of them you're hoping to get transferred out of, and some of them you're just hoping you can make it to the end of the school year. Hey, some of you employees tonight have got some bosses that you love. You got some bosses that you have a word of kindness for, but then there's some of them, boy, you just can't stand. That's what Peter's talking of tonight. He said, hey, there's some of you that are under the subjection of, of some masters that are good and some masters that are gentle. That word good speaks of an inner, intrinsic good. That word gentle speaks of those that are mild and those that are yielding, those that are indulgent, those that have consideration for one another. And we've all had that joy of being able to work for those types of people. Have that joy of being under the subjection of those types of people. Then the Bible says there in verse number 18, but also to the froward. Now he's speaking there in verse 18 of those froward. And that word froward means those that are warped. Now I'll tell you what, you probably had somebody in your life, you say, hey, that man's warped. That lady's warped. Hey, they're wicked. They're contrary to the way of God. It speaks of those that are froward as those that are warped, those that are winding, those that are perverse, those that are crooked. Hey, you've heard that old expression, boy, he's crooked as a dog's hind leg. And each and every one of us from some time or another have had to subject ourselves under those type of people. And my friend, what Peter is saying is just be subjected unto them. Just be faithful unto them. That word subject there in verse 18 means to be submissive. And he says we ought to treat them with fear. That word fear speaks of reverence. Hey, don't just talk about alarm or fright. Hey, you ought not be subjected under alarm or fright because you're afraid if you buck them, you're going to lose your job. Hey, I'll tell you what, if it's meant for you to have that job, God will keep you there. If it's meant for you to move on, then God will provide another job. But nonetheless, you should bestow a Christian attitude and Christian character in the environment in which God has placed you under. Sometimes God calls us to rise above our trials. Sometimes God calls us to rise above our situation. Hey, not to remove ourselves out of it, but to stay right there in it and exalt Jesus Christ. How? By living under the stress. Look what the Bible says there in verse 19. He says, for this is thankworthy. That word thankworthy means this is acceptable in the eyes of God. Hey, I'm thankful to find myself in a position in which God can look down upon me and He can say, well, He's right where I need Him. He's doing right what I want Him to do. Hey, there's been multiple times where I've not been there. But I'll tell you what, it's good to be there. Amen? And the Bible says when you subject yourself under your employer, when you subject yourself under your teacher, when you subject yourself under those that hold a position of authority over you, the Bible says this is thankworthy. That word thankworthy means it's acceptable. It means it finds favor. It means that it's gracious in the eyes of God. It speaks of that which is commendable. It speaks of that which goes beyond the call of duty. Hey, my friend, there's a lost and dying world that's looking at you. There's a lost and dying world that's observing each and every one of us that call ourselves Christians. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to learn to live under the stress in which we find ourselves in. I believe it's a life of luxury. The Bible says there in verse number 19, He says, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Hey, there's somebody at your job, somebody at your school, somebody that don't care for you, and somebody's out to get you. But the Bible says that if we'll walk close to God, if we'll seek His face, if we'll walk in subjection and submissiveness unto Him, desiring to magnify Christ, the Bible says that we'll find ourselves in favor with an Almighty God. He says it's thankworthy if for conscience' sake. That word conscience speaks of our co-perception. It speaks of our moral conscience. It's that part inside of us that tells us and distinguishes between good and evil. It urges us and longs for us to do that which is right, and it tells us to shun that which is wrong. And the Bible says that if for conscience sake, He says, if we live our life toward God enduring grief and suffering wrongfully, He says this will find favor in the eyes of an Almighty God. Toward God, enduring the grief, to endure, to be subjection under. That word endure means to bear. It means to undergo. It speaks of the hardships that are in your life and my life. Hey, there's days and times in which we've got to bear up sadness. There's days and times in which we've got to bear up grief. There's days and moments in which we've got to live under the stress. But praise God, if we bear it up, amen, if we're thankworthy, if we go beyond the call of duty. Hey, there's some people say, I wouldn't subject myself to that employer. I'd walk out. I'd turn to tail. I'd get out of there. I'd quit. Hey, I'll tell you what, God will honor you if you'll live your life in a way to matter, to magnify Him. And the Bible says here in verse number 19, it says, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, he says this is thankworthy before an Almighty God. To suffer wrongfully speaks of that which is unjustly. It speaks of that which is wrong. Hey, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ went beyond the call, ain't you? Hey, I'll tell you what, Jesus was under a lot of stress in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was under such magnitude of stress that it describes that He literally under such stress and under such grief that as He prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane that His sweat become as great drops of blood. The capillaries in His brain and the capillaries there in His scalp and under His skin. As He perspired, the blood began to mingle with that sweat and it ran down across His brow as if He was bleeding great drops of blood. I believe Jesus was at such a point of stress and that He desired to give it up. He desired to, not to take that cup. But nevertheless, He said, God, not my will, but Thy will be done. Hey, when it going gets tough down there at work, when the going gets tough in the classroom, say, God, not my will, but Thy will be done. Help me make it through this moment. Help me make it through this day. Help me make it through this hour. Help me exalt You and magnify You. Hey, I believe that we'll find grace in the eyes of an Almighty God. Jesus went beyond the call of grace, and that was grace. Amen? He went beyond the call. That's the epitome of grace. That is the exaltation of the grace of an Almighty God to see His only begotten Son through the cross of Calvary. And hey, I don't know what type of burden you're bearing. I don't know what type of cross you're carrying today, but God will see you and I through. So we see that He helps us to go beyond the call. Hey, just the fact that He extended a call unto us. Amen? The fact that He saved our soul. The fact that He allowed us to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. That's His mercy. That's His grace. We ought to walk in thanksgiving. Look what the Bible says there in verse number 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. He's saying whenever you go through a good day and you're having a good day and you walk through the other end of that day and you're victorious, hey, that's favorable with God. Whenever you're walking through a trial and you have hardship and pain and you're going through a painful experience and you got all kinds of stress upon you, but you don't back down, you don't falter, you don't fail, you don't buckle. Hey, you just keep your eyes upon Jesus. You just keep your eyes upon the cross of Calvary. You look unto Him. Hey, that finds favor in the sight of an Almighty God. Hey, that's a life of luxury. Amen. Now, to lay our heads down at night. You say, preacher, I don't know if that's too luxurious or not. You're talking about trial. You're talking about pain. Hey, I'll tell you what. Just because Jesus saved us, He didn't say He was going to save us and make everything in life a bed of roses. Hey, Jesus had to go through the cross. Jesus had to bear the cross. You and I are going to have to bear some crosses between here and eternity. But nevertheless, we can have peace on the inside if we do it and find favor in the sight of an Almighty God. So the Bible speaks there in verse 20. It says, what glory is? That word glory means What praise should it be? When ye are buffeted for your faults. Now what he's talking about is literally being struck with a fist. He says, whenever you're beaten for doing right, whenever you are punished for doing what is right in the eyes of God, and you know in your conscience that you're doing what that is right morally, and it's acceptable unto Almighty God. He says, yet you've been struck for it, yet you've been reprimanded for it. He says there in verse 20, for your faults, those things that are considered to be errors or missing of the mark. He says there, if you take it patiently. That word patiently, that means that you persevere. He says, hey, you just keep your eyes upon Jesus. You just keep persevering through that trial. He says there, hey, you take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. Hey, whenever you do something and you know that it's wayward and you're reprimanded for it and you take it patiently, that's all right. That's acceptable unto God. But whenever you are living right and you're doing right and yet you're still reprimanded for it, hey, just keep your eyes upon Jesus. Do what you ought to do and live unto Him. And the Bible says that's thankworthy in the sight of God. He'll bring peace and harmony unto your life if you live under the stress. That's what Jesus did. The Bible speaks over in the book of Isaiah. And of course, Peter makes many references in this text unto Isaiah 53. But in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 14, the Bible says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ had been struck. Jesus Christ had been beaten. Jesus Christ couldn't even be recognized. But yet he still kept his eyes upon Christ. Now I'll tell you what, you might find yourself going through a little hardship down here. Just live under that stress. God will honor it. Bible speaks of us and teaches us we ought to live under the stress, but I believe we also ought to live up to the standard. Now, what is the standard? It's Christ Jesus. What is the picture that we are to look unto? It's Christ Jesus. Hey, whenever you're walking through a hardship and a hard time, look to the cross. Whenever you're going through a valley, whenever you're under a heavy load, look to the cross. Whenever you're finding yourself in a time in which everything's against you, look to the cross. Hey, I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ lived up to the standard. The Bible says there in verse number 21, He says, for even hereunto were ye called. Hey, I'll tell you what, God did not just call you out of sin and wickedness and darkness into His marvelous light. He didn't just call you out of a place of lostness and desolation into a place in which you became found, into a place in which you were saved, into a place in which you've been born again, accepted in the family of God, born from above, hey, a citizen of His kingdom. Hey, God not only called you, but He bid you. Hey, I'm thankful for the effectual call of salvation in my life. And you ought to be thankful for the effectual call of salvation in your own life. And the Bible says there, for even hereto were ye called. You say, preacher, I didn't sign up for this. Hey, whenever God called you, He called you into His family. You got to accept all of life and realize, hey, God is going to be with you. He ain't never going to forsake you. He's going to walk with you. And the Bible says, for even hereto were ye called. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. So the Bible says that He suffered. That word suffered means that to experience a sensation. It speaks of an impression that's been put upon us. You can look in the Old Testament, read Isaiah chapter number 53, and you can see that chapter speaking of the suffering servant of an Almighty God. It's speaking of Jesus Christ and the fact that He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb that came to take away the sin of the world. He was that one that was destined to go to Calvary and to suffer upon the tree and to hang there in agony and shame between heaven and earth. Why? Because He desired to be in the Lord's will. And my friend, if you desire to be in God's will, there's going to be hardships, there's going to be times of anxiety, there's going to be times of stress, but hey, we need to live up to the standard in which Jesus Christ brought before us. The Bible says there, because Christ also suffered for us. And the Bible says that He left us an example that ye should follow in His steps. And that word example is an interesting word. It speaks of an underwriting. It speaks of a copy for imitation. It speaks of an impressing a moral. And I can remember as a child in elementary school, and I don't know if they still use it today, but the term that I remember was onion paper or onion skin paper. I don't know if y'all use that term today or not, but I remember it was just a super thin, thin piece of paper. And boy, they'd give that to you, and what you do is you lay that thin, thin piece of paper down upon something that you wanted to copy or that you wanted to trace, something you wanted to draw over, and you could see it just as bright as day, and you could mark over that thing and get done. And of course, I didn't have the best art. I wasn't the best artist by no means. So it probably wasn't an exact copy, but hey, the potential was there to have an identical replica of whatever that paper was laid on top of as you traced it off. My friend, I'm thankful to say that Jesus Christ has laid His life down for you and I. He's provided for us a copy in which, or something that we should lay our lives down upon and desire to copy. Hey, if we're going to imitate anybody on this side of eternity, it ought not be those on MTV, CMT. It ought not be those that are filling up Hollywood. It ought not be those that are filling up Washington. But it ought to be Jesus Christ Himself, allowing Him to be that one that we imitate in and out of everyday life. The Bible says there that He is our example that ye should follow in His steps. Hey, if we're going to follow anybody, we ought to follow Him. Amen? If we're going to follow anybody, we need to follow Jesus Christ and look unto Him. The Bible says there in verse number 22, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, I know that some of us, whenever we're under subjection unto somebody else, we might be tempted to kind of breathe a little something under our breath. I'm just being honest. And we might not say it to the face, but we might say it to our buddy and say, boy, ain't he got the nerve? Ain't he got the nerve to do this and to do that? Boy, that teacher, boy, I tell you what, she's just as mean. He's just as contrary. And you know what? Jesus Christ never balked. Jesus Christ never spoke a foul word. Jesus Christ never once tried to talk His way out before Ananias, or never tried to talk His way out from before Caiaphas. He never tried to talk His way out before Pilate. He never tried to balk God Almighty. No, the Bible says that there was no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. There was no transgression. There was no iniquity. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what Jesus was. Wasn't no sin on the outside. Wasn't no iniquity on the inside. The Bible says that He did no sin. And the Bible says neither was guile found in His mouth. Guile speaks of trickery or deceit. Now, I'll tell you what, the devil is a liar tonight. The devil's going to try to rob you and steal from you, and he's going to try to kill everything you've got going on in your life. The devil is a liar, but I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ is the truth. And my friend, the Bible tells us right here in verse number 22, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. My friend, we ought to desire to be like Him. We ought to live up to the standard in which Christ has placed before us, desiring to walk. Now, I know that we cannot ultimately have no sin in our life. It's just almost impossible. But nevertheless, we ought to strive on a daily fashion to look unto Him. Hey, Christ Jesus wiped our sins away. Christ Jesus took all our sins. And God's forgiven us through the blood of Christ never to remember our sins anymore. And I'm thankful for the goodness and the grace of an Almighty God. But we should desire daily to cleanse ourselves and ask God for forgiveness. The Bible says there in verse 22, Jesus being our example, Jesus being the standard in which we need to live unto, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. That word reviled means to rail at or to ridicule and reply. It speaks of one that sharply bites. It speaks of one that has an accursed sting upon their lips. Even though Jesus was ridiculed, He was spoken harshly at, He is probably cursed. Hey, my friend, you've probably been there. You go through times in which people strive to make your life a hardship, but the Bible says that even though Jesus Christ was railed at, He never reviled. He never reviled against them. And my friend, I'm here to tell you that as He was hung upon the cross, can't you imagine the mockery? Can't you imagine those people that down there in that motley crowd that were calling out cursing Him and telling Him, hey, if you're really God, just bring yourself down off that cross. If you're really the Christ, then save yourself. But the Bible says Jesus Christ never reviled, never spoke a word. The Bible says there when He suffered, He threatened not.
That word suffered that we find there, it speaks of His experience and sensation. It speaks of that suffering servant upon Calvary's tree. And it says that when He suffered, He threatened not. That word threatened means to menace or to forbid. Jesus Christ never forbid them and what they were doing. He never spoke unto them. He never told them anything. The Bible says there in verse number 23 that when He suffered, He threatened not. But the Bible says, but He committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. The Bible speaks there and says that Jesus Christ committed Himself unto God. He committed Himself there. To commit means to surrender. It means to yield up. It means to entrust. It means to transmit. Hey, whenever everything in life is going against you, just commit yourself unto Him. When everything in life is a hardship, give yourself over unto Christ Jesus. Commit yourself unto the One that judgeth righteously. The Bible says there in verse number 24, who in His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. You know what? The common criminal in the Jewish culture, they weren't crucified. No, they were stoned to death. My friend, nevertheless, it says there in the book of Leviticus that they could hang that body up upon a tree until dark. And my friend, the Bible tells us and teaches us that Christ Jesus died upon the cross. He hung there upon the tree. And the Bible says that in His own self He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. To bear, as we see there, it's the idea basically of that Old Testament priest. The Old Testament priest, Brother Andy's been teaching on the tabernacle. He'd been doing a wonderful job. That Old Testament priest would bring that sacrifice. And he would lay it there upon that brazen altar. But you know that brazen altar was on an incline. That brazen altar was set up high. Basically 4.5 foot high that brazen altar was. And those priests had to bear that sacrifice. Could you imagine bearing an ox and laying it on that altar? Could you imagine bearing a calf? Hey, I'll tell you what, some sacrifices were small, but yet some of them were real big. And I'd say, whatever Christ Jesus looked out upon my life, hey, He said, boy, that's going to be a lot of sin to bear. That's going to be something that's going to be great to bear. Hey, whatever He looked out upon your life, how much sin, how much wickedness did you have within you that Christ Jesus had to bear upon the cross? So you see, the Old Testament priest had to bear that burden, had to bear that and carry it up there and lay it upon that altar. I'd say every step of the way that Jesus took from Pilate's judgment hall all the way to Golgotha's hill, He was bearing our sin. He was carrying our sin up Golgotha. As He went up there and as He got up there upon Calvary's tree and He climbed that hill, He bore the sin of the entire world. He hung there between heaven and earth and He was crucified and He bore the sin of all mankind upon Himself. But I'll tell you what, the Bible says that no sin was found within Him. There was no guile found in His mouth. When He was reviled at, He reviled not again. When He was threatened, or whenever He suffered, He threatened not. I'll tell you what, we need to live up to the standard in which Christ Jesus lived up to. And my friend, I believe that's a life of luxury. Hey, I believe we can have peace in our heart. There's a lot of people say, I got a lot better peace whenever I give somebody a piece of my mind. But I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ didn't do that. He lived His life in such a way that was honorable unto an almighty God. The Bible says there in verse number 24, it says that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Hey, my friend, we are dead to sins. There's a lot of paradoxes with the cross. I just think about the fact that Christ Jesus died that we might live. Christ Jesus died that we might have life. And then we think about the fact that we have died with Him that we might, what, be raised in the newness of life. My friend, I'm thankful to say that we are dead to sins. And we're not completely dead physically right now until the day that we receive that glorified body. But in a spiritual sense, God has forgiven our iniquity. God has forgiven our transgressions. God has wiped the slate clean. He's forgiven us and we've got victory in Him. And the only reason that we have that victory, the only reason that we're dead to sins, the only way that we can live unto righteousness and walk in a way and a manner that can be found worthy of Almighty God is because that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Now I'll tell you what, Jesus gave His all for you and for me. He gave His life's blood. You think about the fact that Jesus Christ went into Pilate's judgment hall, an innocent man, left that hall an innocent man, but yet Pilate allowed those Roman centurions to scourge him. And through that Roman cat of nine tails, there was a long piece of leather that was had bone and lead mixed in with it. And as it hit that back of Jesus, those bones would rip the back, and those big old lead balls would bruise the back. And you can imagine the look of Jesus when He left that place. And I'll tell you what, it was by the stripes that He bore upon His body. It was by the nails that were pierced into His hand. It was by the sword that was pierced into His side. It was by the crown that was placed upon His head. It was by His blood that we have victory tonight. And it's by His sacrifice that we are healed. It's by His sacrifice that we've been forgiven. Hey, I'm thankful for the healing that God brings unto us. I'm thankful for those marks that Christ took upon His own self. It's by His work on Calvary that we have salvation tonight. And my friend, if Jesus Christ could live under that stress, if Jesus Christ could live up to the standard that Almighty God presented before Him, my friend, you and I, through the power of the Holy Ghost, can do the same. You and I can live a life of victory before a lost and dying world, and most importantly, before an Almighty God, being submissive all the way to the end for Him. So my friend, whenever that boss man gets on to you, just think about Jesus upon the cross. When that teacher begins to ridicule you, just look unto Jesus on the cross. Hey, whenever somebody makes it hard on you or I, we need to look unto Jesus. Live up to the standard which He set unto us. But ultimately, if we're going to have a life of luxury, we need to live unto the Shepherd. I'll tell you what, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. I'm thankful the Bible teaches that the great Shepherd left the 99 and went out there and to find that one that was lost. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad that He left the fold. Amen. I'm glad that He came looking for me. I'm glad that He came and He found me. I'm glad that He came and He brought me in and He healed my wounds and He took me in. I'm thankful that God is the great Shepherd. The Bible says here in verse number 25, it says, "For ye were a sheep going astray." Hey, I'll tell you what, you're just as wayward as you can be. You say, "Preacher, I was raised in church. I've been here for years and years all my life." My friend, yet you were still wayward in sin. You were still lost and had to be saved. Still wretched and needed to have a new nature placed within inside of you. The Bible says we were all like sheep going astray. That word astray means to cause to roam from safety, to cause to roam from truth and virtue. The Bible says that's exactly where we were. But the Bible says there in verse 25, "But are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." That Shepherd speaks of the Keeper of the sheep. That's King Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that He's the overseer. I'm glad that He is the superintendent of our soul. That's what the word bishop means. He's the one that's presiding. He's the preeminence. He's the head of the church, and he's the bishop and the shepherd of our soul. I'm thankful for His faithfulness tonight. Amen. I'm thankful that I was returned to the fold. I'm thankful that I'm kept by the Shepherd. Amen. I'm glad He came looking for me, but I'm glad He keeps me in line. Amen. Sometimes He has to take that old crook out yonder and reach around my neck and pull me back in. But you know why He does that? Because He loves me. Hey, I'm glad that whenever I find myself and I get cut up and get marked up and get nicked by the world, the Shepherd comes and He brings that ointment and He rubs it in my wounds and takes care of me. I'm thankful for how good and how faithful God is unto us. Hey, we ought to live unto Him. We ought to walk in submission unto Him. We ought to surrender ourselves unto Him. I'm thankful for what that He's done for me. I'm glad that God the Father sought me out. Amen. Glad that Jesus the Son bought me upon Calvary. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God taught me to see me, to apply, come to a place of conviction and being convinced of my need of a Savior to commit my heart, my life unto Him. I'm glad He saved me. Amen. Oh, what a Savior. Amen. Oh, what a Savior. He's so good to us and so kind to us. So my friend, if you want a life of luxury, I believe we need to learn to live under the stress, live up to the standard, and most of all, to live under the Shepherd. He's worthy. Christ Jesus did it. You and I have that same power, have that same power within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can do it. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.